I hate noise. It is the worst thing in the world, even though it helps us to hear and make sounds and vibrations. But let's cancel it. Welcome to the Noise Cancelling Podcast. What do you think of my new song?
Woo!
As you can probably tell, this is the Noise Cancelling Podcast. You probably can tell that because you've subscribed to it or you're listening to it or you made some sort of decision to have this put into your ears. If not, please let somebody know as best you can. This is obviously coming from Future Publishing, which encompasses wonderful sites like Tech Radar, Laptop Mag, Tom's Guide, and so many more. And this is the podcast where we talk about all things tech, try and sound authoritative, and probably fail most of the time. But hopefully you'll hear Cherie singing and that'll give you a positive feeling. But before we get onto any of that, who is on the call with me today?
I am Cherie L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Matt Phillips, Tech Radar's video producer.
I'm James Peckham, Phones Editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. And as you can probably tell, and guess because we're all living the same life, this is a call. We're not in the same studio. I cannot wait to see you guys in the flesh. Although, admittedly, Cherie, you're on the other side of the world anyway, so this is how we do it.
I mean, yes, but one day I hope to travel to the UK offices.
It now seems weird to think about that. Like, what do you travel?
What are planes?
I miss going to shows so badly. I really do.
Do you mean like musicals or like trade shows?
Trade shows. Because people are already talking about, hey, do you think CES will be canceled? That would break my heart. CES is one of my favorite shows.
It's not. It's not good.
You're a liar. You're a liar. Like, A, it's great for team building because there's all this pressure. Like, and two, it's like a big family reunion. You get to see people that you might correspond with day to day or month to month, but you don't get to see them physically. And then number three, you get to see all the awesome toys that are coming for the coming year. So CES is one of my top shows. I love it so much.
Do you ever feel like, I suppose I can ask you this, Pexy, as well. Like, do you ever feel that CES is one of those things where in microcosm, like the tech industry gets really like navel-gazing and just like tech, really important tech, tech, tech. And then you talk to other people and they're like, oh, I don't care about a robot that brings you toilet roll. Like it's that kind of, does the stuff really matter where we think it might do, but then actually the general public might be like, I'm actually not bothered.
Yeah, I don't think it's a massive thing for the general public in that way. If you're a tech enthusiast, you know what CES is and you know what products come out of CES. But yeah, it's probably not something that like breaks into the mainstream that much.
Well, let's do a litmus test. One of the things that's just happened, I say just because it's literally just happened, is Microsoft has announced new Surface headphones, cleverly called the Surface Headphones 2, with improved battery life. So very similar to design before, longer battery life, and they support higher bit rate so you can hear better things. But I've seen this, we cover this heavily on Tech Radar. I'm sure you have too, Cherie, on your site, or Tom's Guide has too. But do people care about Microsoft making headphones?
Well, let's start with number one, the price. It's $199, same thing as the Surface Buds that Microsoft is also releasing.
I think it's $249, Cherie.
No, in my press release that I wrote up, it said $199. So I don't know if it's a pounds thing or what.
So I think it is $249, Cherie. It's been on the Windows blog itself and it's saying $249.
Oh, well, I have a typo I need to fix. Like, so price is king. So that's number one. Microsoft is making a serious play to be affordable, and that's what's going to count. The competitors that it's obviously going after, the Bose noise-canceling 700 headphones, say that five times fast, they're $299. No, actually, they're three something, and the Sony's are $299. So, like, in terms of price, Microsoft is off to a very, very good start. What I'm hoping from them is that they have twiddled with the noise canceling, because when they came out the first time around, they were good, but not great. In the active noise canceling game, you have to be great because people know Bose, people know Sony, and people are not expecting a headphone, let alone a good headphone from Microsoft. Because what does Microsoft make? Laptops, Windows stuff, and Xboxes. No one said anything about audio, unless we forget about that that quick moment they tried to jump into phones. Rest in peace, Windows Mobile.
Yeah.
Well, they are trying again as well.
What? They're getting back into phones?
Well, they're trying with the Duo, aren't they? It's a phone of sorts.
I can't even think of that as a phone. Like, when I think Microsoft and phones, I think the kin, and it's just like, no, don't do it. Say no.
And obviously, with that, it's not just the headphones. We're seeing the Surface Go 2, the Surface Book 3. I mean, this is all right in your wheelhouse, Cherie. It's laptop central. Like, what are you thinking?
I am excited to see what they're going to do with the Surface Book, the Go, not so much. I, again, don't believe in these things they call laptop replacements, especially since we are, we reviewed the Go, and it's an incremental update, which is fine. It's got smaller bezels, which is cool. But dear God, who wants Windows 10S? That is the most unusable OS that you could put on something. So basically, Windows 10S is a very stripped down version of Windows. And a lot of the apps in the Windows Store that you would think would work on this thing do not work. So it's just kind of a waste of space. So like, in order for you to get any real use out of it, you need to upgrade it to a better form of Windows. So I just don't understand why they decided to keep that. It's just not good for the consumer. It's not a good experience.
Yeah, and it seems like the Surface Go is that kind of, I've never understood these kind of light devices. We see it in phones, we see it elsewhere, and like, it's very rare that like a cut down, stripped down version is, apart from sort of being in the same family and by name, it's not really anything else at all. Like, it's sort of like a vague facsimile. It just seems annoying that they would try and market the same thing.
Yeah, like I just, like those light products, like I feel like they're in that realm of Chromebooks, like they're marketing them for people that, oh, well, you're just doing social media, you're just answering emails, things of that nature. But I don't know, outside of a certain segment of people, like how many people are investing in light devices? I like, I'd love to see that because I just don't get the functionality of it. It doesn't seem to have enough to make sense for me.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, I understand. Like, there's certain things like, a you know, the iPhone SE, for instance, it's a cheaper version of the iPhone, but it's not the same thing at all. It's like, it's a completely different category. So people will look into that, getting into the Apple ecosystem, they've got something different. But things like, you know, the Surface Go and stuff, they're sort of, I don't know, they're sort of like, there's not enough of an interest there for the average consumer to lust after it and go and buy the cheap version. So this doesn't hit the kind of the average user. And the person who's more into the Surface Pro world, Surface world, will go into Surface Books and stuff. So it's just a bit odd in that respect.
Yeah, so... so far it's done well in our review, but I just wait for the Surface Book Go, folks. Just get that.
So the Surface Book 3, what's going on with that? That's also been brought in from Microsoft, and it's all about the beauty and thin and light and all those kind of things. That's exciting, right?
I'm excited about that. Like, definitely more excited than the Go. The Go can go. Womp, 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 womp. That's a laptop. And I can respect that. I'm excited to see it in action. We haven't gotten our hands on it yet, but it sounds really promising. So I really want to get my hands on that. I really want to see how it's going to do in terms of battery life. Redesign is always welcome. Thinner is always better in most cases, especially if you're planning to take that thing on the road, which I know a lot of people are.
Is Microsoft having real success in laptops and stuff like that, do you think?
I'm not sure. For me, back in the time when there was a thing as the outside time, if I rolled into a coffee house or a cafe or wherever, or even just at a tech show, a lot of people have Macs. So I'm not sure how many units Microsoft is selling, but obviously they're selling enough that they've made multiple iterations of both of these laptops and laptop replacements, quote unquote.
And so, obviously, we talked about the Surface Duo in there, or the, is it Surface Duo? Is that what they're calling it, Pexi?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like folding movement, that kind of thing. But I mean, talk about the Razr. That's the one of the primary folding phones in the world. You know, it was the Razr brought back from the late 1990s in a foldable phone. It was a confusing phone when it came out, right? And then something even weird has happened.
Yeah, it didn't get a fantastic review on TechRadar. I think it got a 2.5 star review because it's a very expensive piece of tech for not really a flagship phone. It's a really cool design, and it's basically nostalgia that people will be buying this for. And Motorola in the US have started selling it buy one, get one free. So if you buy a Motorola Razr for $1,500, you can get one for free as well. It's such a strange deal. It's probably the first deal we've ever seen, like a deal of that kind of sort on foldable phones. Also, why would you want two Motorola Razrs? That's just such a weird thing.
Oh, because they can't give them away. Like, they literally cannot sell them, so they're just trying to give them away so you can torture someone else with that horribly designed phone.
Then why not make it half price? That would make a lot more sense in that way to me.
Still got to recoup your money.
But you're giving away two devices for half. Do you see what I mean?
I see it, but no, like, I don't think people are sold on that particular foldable phone.
Yeah.
People like the Galaxy Fold even after the debacles, but critically, The Razer phone got panned. It's like, so the verdict is out. Was it, how much was that phone again?
$1,500. Yeah, right?
Oh my God!
And it's not even a flagship Snapdragon chipset in there.
Oh
it's
my God.
700 series.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh. Oh my God, that's rent on a small studio in New York. No one's paying that. No one's paying that for a crappy phone. Oh my God.
Yeah, but you can only stay in that studio apartment for like 1 month at 1500. You get a Motorola Razr that'll annoy you for at least 2 years of your life because you're like, you got a phone with a really poor processor compared to the rest of the market. You spent loads of money. It folds. That's basically it. And it's, I don't know, I don't understand that. I'm with you, Pexy. Like, why not sell it half price? Like, I remember back in the day of 3G becoming a thing and starting out in the UK, you could buy, because people were video calling, you could buy a 3G phone and get one free as well, which made sense because you're like, if you're going to video call someone, you need someone to video call. That made a modicum of sense, even though no one did it. And then people realized that 3G video calling wasn't a thing. And yet now we're in this Zoom world where everyone's video calling. So that's, things come full circle. But yeah, I don't understand why you do buy one, get one free. I wonder if it's just some sort of marketing thing over anything else. Like, if you make it half price, you've essentially said it's failed. If you buy one, get one free, it's a, like, it's an offer. It's an exciting thing. It's changed.
That's true. Yeah. It's trying to save face, I guess, a bit in that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
But by doing the buy one, get one free, aren't they essentially doing half off without halving off? Because you're getting two phones for the price of one.
That's the point. They're doing half off without having to do half off. And then everyone going like, they've slashed the price. Ah, dickheads.
It makes sense to me. Look, I get it, right? They want to get this phone out to people. This phone has a bit of a wow factor, right? And if they really do have a load of them lying around somewhere, why not do buy one, get them free? Give everybody two. Tell them to give one to their mum. Get them out there. Because this phone looks amazing and feels great in the hand and has that nostalgia factor. We knew when they showed us, yeah. Me and James went to like a bit of an early viewing of it. They had like Kim Kardashian all over the adverts and stuff. It's a fashion statement. This phone is 100% a fashion statement. So for 750 quid, I'm all in.
So Matt, come on. Mrs. Matt Phillips. She gets on her birthday, she opens up a Motorola foldable phone, which you've spent an inordinate amount of money on, by the way.
Well, she's currently on iPhone 6, so I think that's still a step up.
Yeah,
no,
she probably is then.
No,
she would hate that. She would be like, what are you doing? I don't understand how to use this. Why is it folding? What is this? Just generally, why don't you love me as a mother?
Oh my God, no, don't do that. Don't do that to anyone. Like, that. This is the gift that keeps on torturing. Like, so... It doesn't even fold that well, like in comparison to what's on the market. Comparing it to the Galaxy Fold, this is just ill thought of. And I get it. They tried to make a nostalgia grab. Oh my God. Like here, my love, here's this crappy folding phone, but you can play Snake on it. And if you really want to bump up that nostalgia factor, there's a mode that lets you use it like an old school flip phone. So if you need to text, you need to press the letter that you're trying to get to three times before you get to it. Here, this is an expression of my love. Just tell her you hate her and hand her the divorce papers. Don't do that.
I thought we were talking about his mum.
Yeah, you can't divorce your mum.
I know, we got lost somewhere in there, didn't we? We went from mum to wife.
We did.
Matt, have you married your mum?
Let's not talk about it.
That's what we should talk about. Let's talk about Vikings if we're going to get into things. I mean, that's roughly the same thing, right? Assassin's Creed. I like to do my research for these podcasts because, you know, professional somewhere. And yeah, I've done this. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. I think I've raised this already in the podcast before. I used to love gaming. Growing up, I gamed all the time. And then suddenly, one day, I just stopped. And I don't know if it was just they came too big or too hard or like, I love the idea of it. I just stopped doing it. And like, I looked at this Valhalla thing, I've seen it go through the site. I hadn't read anything about it. I was looking, I'm like, what is this? Why is this a thing? Why is there Assassin's Creed was a man on top of a, wasn't that Assassin's Creed a man who jumped to ground on top of like buildings in the Italy or something? Was that Prince of Persia?
Yeah, both.
That's Persia. I don't know. Matt, you like gaming. Tell me more.
I do. I don't know why this is a thing, really. Assassin's Creed games do well for Ubisoft for some reason, and they've been packing them full of microtransactions as of late and making them more and more grindy and longer and longer and longer, which is my suspicion on why you fell out of gaming, because you got too busy as an adult and couldn't afford 75 hours to play an Assassin's Creed game anymore, which is what this will be.
Nice!
Yeah. Is that something you want, Cherie?
Oh my God. I am an open world queen. Oh my God. I cannot tell you what. Oh my God. So many hours have been spent in worlds like these. And I'm a completionist. So like the side quest is like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. Like I am totally fine with giving 100 to 150 hours to a game like this. All right with it.
But it's not piece of candy. It's Dave asking you to go collect 5 flowers from across the other side of the map and travel 16 hours. Yeah, exactly.
I'll piss off, Dave.
Yeah. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to do it. And the way I play, I tend to do quadrants. So I try to do all the side missions in quadrant 1, then do all the main missions, then go on to quadrant 2. Like the completionist in me will just, oh my God, it just speaks to my soul. Oh, so good.
Yeah, which makes you the perfect Assassin's Creed player. But for me, it's like, oh, this story's really interesting, but now I have to spend 20 hours doing all the side missions, which are boring, to level up so that I can continue that story. And by the time I get there, I've forgotten what's happening and who everybody is. So I don't
care. I'm trying to think what it was, like whether it went from like, just there's just too much first person, or the worlds are just too big, or it just wasn't linear enough for me. Like I'm the completionist too, and I like being able to say, go do that thing, do the thing, come back again. And rather than having to like remember where I was, just scroll, maybe I just want Mario Brothers 3 back again because I completed that and it was brilliant, and I still feel like that's my greatest moment. But we are going to hear more about this at the Xbox reveal later this, oh well, it will have happened at the time of recording, but we'll talk about that after the break. So let's take a lovely quick break. So we are back and we have left the news section. I feel like we covered a whole smorgasbord of things, but from Microsoft to Foldable to Viking Land. Where's Viking Land, is it?
It's Norway and England for the game.
All I know is that I'm going to be able to stab dudes as a Viking and potentially use an axe and get, like, hopefully there'll be some type of berserker mode. I'm all in for it.
Cherie, you can do that right now. You can stab dudes dressed as a Viking and use an axe and go berserker. Like,
I don't want to go to jail.
You're not allowed to go outside, so you can't.
Yeah. True, good point. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. You're always the voice of reason. So the Xbox preloader is going to be already happened by the time this podcast goes live, so I'm not really sure why we're talking about it, but are we excited? And I suppose more importantly is Microsoft admitted that this is going to, told us that this is going to be a 2020 that's happening regularly on a month-by-month basis. They are stretching out the Xbox Series X launch, aren't they, Pexy?
Yeah, they really are. But then again, PlayStation's doing a similar thing, really, aren't they? Where we're getting little tiny events and we're getting these kind of things. We don't know if it's going to be every month, but like we are getting little kind of hints at each time. I'm just so excited to actually see gameplay for the first time. It feels like we've been talking about these consoles. We have been talking about these consoles for years, and we've been talking about them quite excessively for the last year. And I'm just so excited to see what games come out of it, really. As you say, whoever's listening to this will probably know about all those games already, but we literally have no idea what we're going to be seeing apart from we expect some Assassin's Creed. Yes, very excited. I'm a PlayStation man myself, but I'm still into seeing whatever Xbox can show. And it does seem like Xbox is the more powerful console, so maybe this will be the more exciting gameplay.
And so, Cherie, what do you think we're going to see on Thursday? Have you had any deep thoughts about it, or just don't care?
Oh, I care.
I care.
I am gaming agnostic. I have everything in my house. I have a Switch. I have 3 Xbox Ones. I have 2 PlayStation 4s. So no matter what, both of these companies will be getting my money. Well, all 3, because eventually a Switch 2 will be rolling down the line. In terms of Xbox, this is really exciting for them because last E3, they put on a big show talking about how they acquired all of these indie studios, including Team Ninja and some real heavy hitters. So this, because Xbox lost the console war last year because they didn't have exclusives. So now they have all these publishing houses under their belt. So I better see some games, and they better come out in a timely fashion. No one wants to see Crackdown 3. Actually, don't ever make another Crackdown. We don't want it. It's not welcome. If you do it, I'm just going to give you the judgy face. Don't do it, Microsoft. No more. But we want the games to come out. Like, I remember everyone got really, really excited about Scalebound, and it was never seen again. Microsoft needs to, if you have all these publishing houses, you need to A, make the games, and B, put them out. So I am excited to see what they have under their belt. This is not the first time that Microsoft has had the most powerful console in the world, because the Xbox One for last generation was the most powerful console in the world. But what is a piece of hardware without supporting software? An expensive paperweight. So they really, really need to stick the landing on the games this time around.
Matt, obviously you do the videos for us, so you don't have to do all the writing and get too lost in it. So you can keep the excitement with visuals. Obviously, we've seen the Xbox Series X, we think. We haven't seen the PlayStation. Like, what are you feeling about the whole launch? Are you feeling like this? These kind of spread out things make you feel titillated or just pissed off?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, PlayStation have been far too radio silent as far as I'm concerned. The stuff we've been getting isn't interesting enough, especially for your average consumer. And like you say, the Xbox seems like it's going to come out on top hardware-wise, but I'm still just in disbelief that these consoles are actually coming this year. Everything else hardware-wise has been delayed. And software-wise, all the games are getting delayed. So, yeah, it just blows my mind that we're still getting them this holiday. Yeah, I can't believe it, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, if they still do stick to those dates, which it seems like they're going to, they'll probably be really limited quantity. So, I don't know how many people will adopt this on day one. I'm still in, like I say, disbelief about it all.
Well, I mean, we're hopefully going to keep this podcast going for a while. And so we'll be keeping tabs on that. But let's go where we'd like to go at this point in time and into the labs.
Time for reviews. Time to talk about laptops, tablets, and smartphones. And anything else we get our hands on. Reviews.
Matt, sing it.
No.
Oh, you got like you psyched me out. Like you took a big breath like you were about to do it.
We have got a lot to talk about here because Cherie, you have been under embargo, heaven or hell, which one is it?
A little bit of both. Like I love a pressure cooker situation. So there are a ton of embargoes. So like the masochist in me is like, yes, sir, give me more. The realist in me is like, but why? Why are they all stacked on top of each other? And the extremist in me is like, hey, we're going to get this done. And we are getting it done. We've already gone through all of the Microsoft embargoes. So that is the Go, the Book, the Surface headphones, the Surface earbuds, and a couple of Surface accessories. Next up, we are on the MacBook Pro, which I have had a little bit of time with. And it's not a incremental jump, but they've addressed customer concerns, which I think is more important at this point. So with that, this time around, like they're keeping the same price points, which is good and bad because for the base model, you're getting an 8th gen processor, which is a 2-year-old processor, which I don't get. Why do you not love us, Apple? But you are also getting double storage this time around. So instead of 256 gigs to start, you get 512, which is great. And they kick the butterfly keyboard to the curb in the 13-inch MacBook Pro. It is no more. That is the final nail in the coffin. It does not live anymore. Now we are all playing with the Magic Keyboard, which is a more comfortable typing experience. It's still shallow. It's not mechanical keys that give me that lovely clicky, clicky sound, but it's a much, much better typing experience than what people were getting with the butterfly keyboard. So for those reasons, like it's a really solid MacBook. They didn't change the design. It still looks the same. You still got the somewhat chunky bezels, which is disappointing because what I wanted them to do was do what they did with the Air, slim down the bezels and get a bigger screen. Well, actually what they did with the 16-inch, slim down the bezels, get a bigger screen into a smaller chassis because people want a 14-inch MacBook. I don't know why. I'm fine with the 13-inch. I just would have preferred a bigger screen, but here we are.
Why is it only 13-inch?
Because Apple, because reasons, the reasons that they chose. No idea. I think people are comfortable with the 13-inch. I would have been impressed if they had gone back to the 12-inch, but I don't know if people like that form factor enough to make it worth Apple's while.
But what are bigger devices, though?
I would have been fine with a 14-inch. Like, I definitely like the 16-inch, but from industry research, most people prefer, like, overall, a 15-inch notebook. Like, it just splits the middle. Like, you get a decent-sized display, but it's still somewhat portable. So, I would have liked them to have done the 14-inch, but I guess they didn't want to encroach on the 16-inch. That's the best logic that I could come up with, but who knows what Tim and the rest of the folks over at Corporatino are ever thinking. All I know is that people are going to buy it. And yeah.
Are we getting a new 16-inch?
We're about due, but depending on how the supply chain is doing, I don't know if we're going to see it this year. But we're not even in summer yet, and Apple typically does like 20,000 announcements before we even get to fall. So who knows?
What else is in the review parlor for you as well?
Let's see. Sony has come out with some unnameable earbuds. Name yet them. Again. Let me see. They are the WF-SP800N.
Well done.
Earbuds.
I mean, we can't corroborate that right now, so she could be just taking this. Sorry.
They're actually right here. So far, so good. Like, I like the sound. And what I'm impressed about is they're a little chunky, but what impresses me about them is the level of bass for a truly wireless earbud. Like, somehow Sony found a way to put their extra bass technology into these teeny tiny earbuds. The case is one of the biggest cases I've seen in my life. I have just started playing with these. The embargo will have broken by the time this goes live, so I don't have the specs off the top of my head, but I am excited. Like, from just the first listen, I'm really excited to delve deeper into this.
Yeah, that is a big case. It's like a small sunglasses case. It's crazy.
It's a rather large case. Like, I'm surprised it's so, like, especially compared to the likes of the Pixel Buds 2 and the AirPods Pro. This is like a boat.
I mean, do you think that's the key thing? Like, I think wireless, the true wireless headphones world, I was about to say it's fascinating, but like, it's not to a lot of people. But to us tech fans, it's fascinating. The idea that Apple's doing these kind of weird toothbrush heads from outside your ears, and then the Pixel Buds and the Surface earphones are slightly more refined, and then Sony just going, nah, we're going to put boats in your head, and you can hear all the bass.
Well, the thing about it is, when you shrink it down to such a tiny space, like, you've got to make sacrifices. I think Sony just got tired of making sacrifices. They want to make sure that they get that bass in your ear. They want to make sure that it sounds good, and they're not afraid to make it a little chunkier to make it happen. So I do respect that. So far, the first listen, like, they're comfortable in my ears, but they definitely stick out a little bit. But the sound, I'm really impressed with the sound on these.
And how much are they, do you know? Or is that just still part of the TBC?
TBC.
Okay, well, that's a nice, exciting surprise for next week on the pod. Right, so obviously we haven't had as many reviews on Tech Radar this week because Laptop Mag has covered them all so succinctly on this podcast. But in terms of a five-star product, we have had the Samsung Q80T QLED TV. And this one is targeted at gamers. So the main thing here is that it's got low latency, that it's capable of just, you know, firing back the responses really, really quickly. And that's great for first-person shooters, all kinds of things that kids do nowadays. I don't think they're going to be buying this TV themselves, perhaps, because it is $1,800 or £2,300. However, for a 65-inch QLED TV, and QLED is a really good tech to rival OLED and gives really deep blacks, and it's Samsung's attempt to change it. This looks like a decent TV, right, Pex?
Yeah, definitely. And as you say, the price is not extreme. We've seen a lot higher prices for TVs in that way in the past. The difference for me there is that the price is a lot more in the UK than it is in the US, which is a shame for us on this side. But yeah, it's a first five-star TV we've had in a long time. So that in itself is quite interesting.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know me, I've been trying to buy a 65-inch TV for the last 17 years.
Since I've known you.
Yeah, but it'll happen one day and then we see it's small. But it's weird how Samsung, an OLED manufacturer massively, doesn't have OLED TVs, right? Yeah, Pexy's grunt of agreement. Matt, I know you don't review anything. So out of all the things you've heard about today in our labs, welcome to the labs. I hope you have kept your shoe covers on and your lab coat. What's been the most exciting for you?
Probably the TV, to be honest with you. I'm in a similar boat to you. I've been talking about buying a TV for a very long time. I think it'll be actually the very first TV that I purchased for myself. And so, yeah, I'm a big gamer and stuff. So anything that sort of puts gaming first is always on my radar. And OLED TVs always scared me a little bit in that sense, because you hear about burning.
No,
you hear about
it's
burning
brilliant.
A lot, and you have to like maintain your TV and do all these things.
Nope.
I have purchased two OLED TVs at this point. I have two 55 inches. One day, I too will join the 65-inch club, hopefully with the 8K series when those start rolling through for real. OLED TVs are really easy. Like, every day, like, just don't sit there and have the same thing on the screen and you don't have to worry about burning.
But when you're playing 100 plus hours of Assassin's Creed, you're going to end up with that mini-map burning in you.
Nah. So far I've done Final Fantasy. Like, I've had this I've had one TV for a year or some change, and I've been doing my obsessive gaming strategies on it, and it's been fine. There's even actually at this point, all OLED TVs have a little button or a little thing in the menu called Pixel Refresher that you press every now and then, and it refreshes all the pixels and keeps it nice and tidy. But yeah, no, I love my OLEDs. QLED is fine, but they're... especially once you team it up with HDR, high dynamic resolution. Oh my, it's like, oh, do I want to step into the TV? Like, I should step into, it's a portal. It's not a TV, it's a portal. It's calling me in. Like, it's just so incredibly gorgeous. And my poor, poor boyfriend, the tech hoarder that I am, he has to put up with these things for me. And so when I got the first TV, he's like, we don't need a new TV. Because I was making the jump from 1080p to 4K in OLED. He's like, we don't need that. You already have this Vizio 4K. I'm like,
he is right. He is right.
No, he's wrong. He's wrong. And I knew I would get him as soon as he watched his first football game or his first basketball game with that HDR and all that stuff on. He's like, okay, I see it now. Like, and then I got the second one and he was a little perturbed. I have not gotten the third one yet because I'm right now don't have a TV in my room and I kind of like it, but there's a bare wall here. And it's kind of screaming for another TV. And he's just looking at me.
Have you heard of art?
No, put a picture up. Yeah. Have you heard of a window? Like, just anything else that's not a TV. Just don't cover your walls and every single thing with, like, some sort of screen.
Like, no. The TV, like, the wall is kind of, like, Shireen.
We need an intervention. Did you hear what you just said then? But no, the TV, the wall. That's your reasoning for buying another TV. I worry for you. Anyway, yeah, come on, like, we are going far too long. We have to unleash some hatred. So
don't
let's take
judge me.
Too late. Unpopular opinions. Sheree doesn't need a TV. That'll be unpopular. But let's take a quick break and be back after this. Sheree, let's do the best bit, the singing bit.
Unpopular opinions. Let your hate unfurl. Don't judge me about my TV love. It's something I need. Screens on every wall.
Pexy, sing it?
No, not going to happen. Not until you sing it.
Oh, fuck's sake. what would be great is if Sheree was just terrible at singing, so someone just showed her up every single week, but it's not true. Right, this week's unpopular opinion, I believe, because I just realised no one's got a name next to it, comes from Pexy.
It does. Rick and Morty season 4 is back. Season 4 was already something that was happening late last year, I think. I can't actually remember exactly when it was.
What is Rick and Morty for the average person who hasn't seen it?
What is Rick and Morty? It is a animated TV show from the mind of Dan Harmon, who made Community, and it has sort of been a cult hit. It wasn't a massive deal at the start, and then it gently started to build up, and it's about a time travel. It's essentially Back to the Future, but it's a parody of Back to the Future with a lot of adult themes mixed in as well. Yeah, I used to really like it, and I've just sort of absolutely petered out with it. I'm really not that interested in Series 4 anymore, and I'm seeing a lot of excitement about it. We've got how to watch articles and stuff up on the site at the moment, and stuff on Rick and Morty Season 4, and I just don't really care anymore. And I think it's because they took so long to make these series, and also splitting a 10-episode series in two, to me, was just a strange idea. I got 5 episodes into it, and then all the momentum just dropped out, and we've had to wait, I think, like something like 3 months for the next lot of episodes. I know someone on this call is not agreeing with what I'm saying.
I do not. I watched the first episode of season 4, Never Rick and Morty, and it's just as funny as it's ever been. Like, the appeal of it is like Pexy said, it is a Back to the Future parody. Like, but if Doc was an alcoholic, abusive genius, and Marty or Morty in this case, was just a simpering, just a stooge. They are fully leading into the metaverse, but I do agree with you about the length of hiatuses. This is a Cartoon Network thing more than a Harmon Roland thing. Cartoon Network really needs to get on the ball with their contracts, because, like, they get hit shows, because we saw it happen with Steven Universe, like, will they, won't they, and, like, the budget to get these things animated, so it's always a push-pull thing, and then with Rick and Morty, it started getting so big, they had to go to contract negotiations, so out of that, we're going to get, what did they say, seven more seasons? Are we getting seven more seasons of this?
I think it was even more than that. I think they went ridiculous and it was something like 20 seasons, wasn't it? And they just kind of said they were doing it. And maybe that was all a joke and I just didn't get it.
I think it was a joke. I hope not. Like, I don't think they can sustain 20 seasons. I think they can do seven, because their seasons are short. They're like 10 episodes.
That's not short, Sheree. That is not short. That's American short. English short is like four episodes.
And the entirety
of The Office is about 10 episodes.
Three series.
Yeah, because I like watching some of the BritBox and watching IT Crowd and watching Luther. I'm like, but I need more. Why can't I have... Yeah, you're right. So they can pull it off, but I am excited because like they totally turned the show on its head. They went full meta. They lead into like... just the promo for it, like you saw all these shots and people made all these theory videos like, oh, we're going to see this continuity, and they blew all of that out the water with the first episode. Like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Stop trying to predict us. Stop hitting yourself. What I love about Rick and Morty is that everyone thinks that they're Rick when everyone is actually a Jerry, which is awesome.
And that's something so many people who haven't watched the show will definitely get. We are running massively out of time right now because we end up talking about everything and everything. But just one final word from Matt. It can be anything.
I agree with James. Rick and Morty has been gone for too long and I don't care anymore.
I think one thing I do want to ask is, how is your hair still looking like it's not gone wrong? Like every other person I've seen.
Great podcast material.
I mean, Matt's hair just looks really suave and swish. And I keep seeing myself. I've got these weird little flicks over my ears now. Like I'm just having to sort of pull my hair back behind my ears. It's awful.
It's the over-ear headphones. They just keep everything in check and everything. See?
Pexy's wearing over-ear headphones and his fringe is starting to try and attack his nose.
Yep.
And we will not talk of my apocalypse hair, but let's just say I have ordered some purple hair dye to rectify it so it can be back to the color I love it to be.
I think we all need to do that. That's all of it. Well, on that note, as always finishing, thank you very much for everyone for being here. We've enjoyed having you listening. Thank you for getting to the end and not being too bored by all the different bits and pieces. Hopefully we were entertaining. Everyone else, can you say goodbye? Matthew.
Bye.
But I mean, I was going to say, like, you know, if you want to give any shout outs to your personal brands or any things people should be doing.
Just go to Tech Radar. Just subscribe to Tech Radar YouTube channel, like the video and all that fun stuff.
Great. Pexy?
I'm not going to talk about Tech Radar. Can you follow me on Twitter, please? It's at JamesRWP.
Sheree, have you got a Twitter account?
I do.
Yes,
it's Miss Smith 11. Same with the Instagram, MISS Smith 11. And of course, go to Laptop Mag. We are hitting you with all the embargoes, all the action, all the time. It's like Demolition Man 2, just like all, just on 100. And we're just going on all cylinders with the reviews and the news and all the stuff.
Well, and I was Gareth Beavis. Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. And on Tech Radar, we've got everything you ever want. We have got Soccer Dog 2 version of stuff, like where the dog takes over the European Cup attempt at a local school. And we've got some subpar features and some reviews and maybe some news. And like, no, it's not. It's all brilliant, obviously. It's really wonderful. We really care. But yeah, there's so many things you can listen to and watch and read and all that kind of stuff. That's why we do this podcast, to share all of them with you. Thank you very much, everybody. Just to tell you, as ever, this is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. There are loads of things to check out on there. I keep bringing it back to Life Sciences, Life's Little Mysteries, because it's well good. Please check that out. And obviously, please, please, please give us good ratings on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods. 5 stars means the world. 4 stars means less of the world. 3 stars, just don't bother. I mean, just don't, you know, don't even click. It would help everybody out. But if you have enjoyed this, please let us know. We've given you all the Twitter handles, Tech Radar, of course, as well. Thank you very much. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.